Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Hello, listeners. This is Divya Parekh. Welcome to the Beyond Confidence show. I'm so thrilled today to be bringing my dear friend, Karen Keller, who will be sharing her wisdom and invaluable insights with you today. I'm so excited. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, Divya. It's so great to hear you again and to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for joining me. It's such a privilege to have you on the show because I've learned so much throughout our journey, and I want to share all the knowledge that you have brought to so many coaches and so many other women to my listeners. So we are really honored to have you here.
Well, thank you. I think it's important that we, as women, talk with other women and share our stories, share what we're doing, share what our mission is, because I think working together, we can really accomplish some really great things.
Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right. So my dear friends, I want to share, Karen Keller is one of the leading women coaches and entrepreneurs in the industry, and I'm going to invite her to share her story of her journey as to how she reached where not only she has been extremely successful as an entrepreneur, and yet at the same time brought about Keller Influence Indicator into being, which has helped so many different people. It helped me. I took the assessment, and it has really helped me not only in my personal life, it has also helped me in my business and in my dealings with my clients. So please share your story.
Well, let's see here. I can give you the short version, I guess. My background is I'm a clinical psychologist, and I practiced that for several years. And then I discovered something called coaching, and I was intrigued by it. I was living in Indiana at the time. It was not really well known, and so I decided, you know what, this is really good. It's a fit. It made sense to me. I was really intrigued, very curious about it, and I started to go. I started a program where I got coach training and certification at Coach U and Corporate Coach U. And so, you know, I look back, this was in the mid to late 1990s. sounds really old, but it sounds like a long time ago. But it was great because I had an opportunity to learn at the feet of people who were very much founders of the coaching industry. So anyway, I started to coach, and I transitioned my practice, and I decided I'm going to work within whatever I attract. And if that's life coaching, if it's different types of stuff, well, what I ended up attracting were people in business, executives and that. Now, I want to clarify one of the things, and I think a lot of women that are listening to this right now will appreciate what I'm about to say. I had three things that I really had to overcome when I was doing this. Number one, it was people were saying, what is coaching? You know, we're not really familiar with it. I don't think we need it. It doesn't make sense. So that was one part. There was a lot of education that I had to do. The second thing that I had to overcome was, you're a therapist. You're a clinical psychologist. We don't want you coming into our company and doing therapy. So there was a lot of misunderstanding and confusion about, you know, what I was going to be doing, you know, based on a past career that I had. And the third thing that I had to overcome was, you're a woman. What do you know about business? What do you know about executives? And I don't fault people for that, but that's where it was in the 90s. And especially with something new, I mean, I did not own a manufacturing company. I wasn't a part of a financial investment firm. I wasn't a lawyer in a firm like that. I did not own a major business. I was just my own business, me, myself, and I, as coach. And so I think that there were so many misperceptions around it. But those were three things that I had to overcome, and I had to figure out how I could do that and grow my business and still feed my kids, because at the time I was a single parent. I had two daughters, young daughters at home, and I had to put the bread and butter on the table, so to speak. There were a lot of mac and cheese nights, you know, and we rented DVDs. We didn't go to the movie. We waited until it came out. But it was those kinds of sacrifices, and I'm sure so many women, you can all understand exactly what I'm saying, because, you know, even though there's this burning desire inside of you to move into a different part of your career, to open your own business, which you can all do, but there's also the need to balance that with other priorities in your life. And that can be really much a challenge. So I set out to do this coaching to build my business, and after a few years, things started happening. You know, back then, the Internet wasn't something where you did all this online marketing, and they didn't even have Facebook yet, quite a bit, actually. And so there wasn't the way to advertise your services. I mean, you could send out a newsletter on email. And so there was, you had to be really creative. And I even find today that as women, when we're, you know, making our niche and building our, you know, setting out our footprint on what we do and who our clients are and the message that we have to deliver, doing all that stuff still requires us to be creative and innovative. Just because our technology has improved and all these things, there still are barriers that we need to overcome. There still are ways, very creative ways, that I've seen so many women come up with that they can use and do to be heard, to work with other women, to help other women, to get our message across. Whatever that message is, you may not be a coach. You may be an integrative or functional medicine doctor. And so there's barriers there. But, you know, technology, you look at the STEM programs that are coming into our school systems and really being proactive and developing young girls into doing whatever they want to do, and because they're smart and they're brilliant and they're kind and all these things. And so we are making a lot of headway, and it's all because we have women that have come before us that have really opened up doors and they took risk. And so I find even now, I know women that are still taking risks, and that's kind of where I saw myself a few years ago, Divya, you mentioned something about, you know, creating and finding a direction. I did a lot of coaching for several years, and then I decided, what is it that I'm really passionate about? What is it that I know? What is it that, you know, it's kind of like a legacy, but what is it that I can offer other people, particularly women, that would inspire or motivate them to do things that they want to do, things that they would be good at? And so for me, that came into what I realized I was doing a lot of, was helping people build their influence. And what did that mean? So I started by doing my research, by looking at what was influence. Well, you have Dale Carnegie, and you have all kinds of different people that come to mind that have done great work, but a lot of it was done by men, and the work is good. But it was all very directed toward an external piece of how you get somebody to do what you want them to do, or to, you know, say what you want them to say, that kind of thing. And to me, as a woman, and I think a lot of you out there can identify, I'm hoping, something seemed to be missing, you know. And so as I started reflecting on this and the materials and the information I found, I realized that one of the things that was missing is that there's something that happens before you influence another person. And to me, I've called that being influential. And a lot of people, you know, mix up these words, they misuse them, or they, you know, interchange them with each other, influence and being influential. And to me, they were very different. So I set out to define what being influential was. And again, I went back. I did a lot of research. Nothing much out there. Being influential is, well, let me start with this. Being an influencer, influencing people, means you need to walk into the room and say or do something where you get a reaction or a response from other people. And it's preferably the one you want to have, right? Being influential, on the other hand, all you need to do is walk into the room. So it's something that precedes being an influencer. You know, I look at people like Gandhi and Christ and Nelson Mandela and, you know, some great philosophers. They didn't have position, money, or authority, or title, or whatever, but there was something about them that they were very influential, that people listened. Yeah, people listened. People were drawn to what their message was, what they were talking about. And so I said, you know what? I need to study that. I need to figure out what that was. And the other thing about this that's really important is that what I discovered is something that women come by naturally. It's very much a part of a woman's neurological or physiological makeup. And I identified 7 traits that all these influential people had to be influential, not just influence, but to be influential. They came down to confidence, courage, commitment, passion, empowering, trustworthiness, and likability. And once I started looking at these traits as I identified them, I realized that so many conversations I've had with all the women that I've known, one or more of these traits was in that conversation. We were speaking out of passion, or we had these women were highly likable, or they really had the confidence. You know, I mean, it takes confidence and courage to take a risk and to put yourself out there, you know, because you're taking a chance that you might fail. Well, you know what? I have failed numerous times. I've been rejected more than that, you know. I realized that women, and I don't know if it's because we have children, because we take care of everybody, sometimes at the expense of ourselves, but we don't need to anymore. But we're very much the protectors. We're very strong. When I think about my grandmothers, I came from a farm in northern Minnesota. That's where I was born and raised. And both of my grandparents were farmers, both sets. And my grandmothers were very strong. They worked very hard. They were a partner with my grandfathers in making decisions. they were very smart. They knew how to do what most, you know, I would never know how to do now. But they had a really strong, intuitive, instinctual nature about them. And they were confident women. They were courageous. They were very likable. And so I think about the women that I've known and that I had the pleasure of being raised by and exposed to. I was really fortunate. And I realized that so much of, you know, women come by it very naturally to have a great deal of influence because they're influential first. We as women, I think women, and I'm not to exclude men. Men can do this, but I think women do it very naturally. And wherever that comes from, it's, you know, our brains are made differently than a man's brain, and that's just physiology, you know, and that's normal. And so I think it's a very much of a strength, though, for women to be influential because our focus is different. We pay attention to those relationships. We pay attention to the emotional connection that we make with other people, men, women, or children, whichever it is. We really respect that piece of us as women. And so I think that the work that I've been doing and the material that I'm creating and offering, you know, to people, just in the blog, just blogging about this and how it's important for women to really open up their awareness to how they come by this. It's there. Now, my question that I have for every woman listening to this in your, on your program today is, are you using it? That's the question. Are you using your influential nature? Are you maximizing these traits or leveraging these traits to build and to create whatever it is you want to create? Because these traits can be used in work, they can be used at home, they can be used in relationships, they can be used in your community. You know, heck, if you're in the PTA or if you're in a religious, you know, community and you are heading up a group of or a team of people and here's an objective, all you are constantly influencing from the day you, from the minute you wake up to the minute you rest your head on the pillow. And when I talk about this, one of the things I say is that the power of being influential is very strong. So try this. When you wake up the next morning, tomorrow morning, before you reach over and turn on the radio or the light or put your feet on the floor or sit up or stretch or whatever, I ask you to do one thing, and that is smile. Put a smile on your face. Yes. You know, you don't have to think about something to smile about. No, not at all. All you need to do is smile. And if it doesn't happen, take your two fingers and push up on your cheeks like this so that your lips go up and you are smiling. I guarantee that you will experience a shift. And you've essentially influenced yourself for the remainder of that day. Because what can happen when you do that, it's really a neurochemical change that occurs in the brain when your lips are smiling. And the other thing that happens, which I think is a great thing, is once I put a smile on my face, I start to think about some fun things. I start to be grateful. I experience gratitude. I think about the blessings I have in my life. I think about, hey, guess what I not have to do, but I say, guess what I get to do today. And so just by doing that one thing every single morning, you will determine how your day and how your, you won't control what people do, but you will determine how you receive and are during your day. And so, you know, and that's one of those things, and I, you know, and it's so powerful. It really is. Just as the whole thing about, you know, becoming influential is very, very powerful to us as women. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, Divya. I apologize, you know, but it's like, it's so important for women to get this. And I think that, you know, people do. Women do get this. And so, you know, you had asked me in a different conversation, you know, what do you think that women want? And I think women really want, among a lot of other things, but the first thing that occurred to my mind was they want respect. They want respect for their ideas. They want respect. We want respect for our ideas. We want respect for our emotions. We want respect for our priorities. We want respect for what we do and how we do it. You know, I don't want to dress up like in a suit and tie and go to work every day. I want to be respected and valued that way. And I think that that's really, really important. And one of the ways that a woman can really earn and garner that kind of respect and value from everybody, men, women, all together, you know, a work environment, doesn't matter, is by showing how influential you are. You know, when you stop and think about it, let's say, for instance, and Divya, I'll ask you this. How do you feel or how do you experience a woman who has confidence?
That's a great question. It is, you know one. It takes one to know another one. Because
right.
When you have confidence, it's about trusting yourself. And when you trust yourself, you're secure within yourself. You know that, yes, I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm ready to take on the world. And even if I'm blazing my own trail, I'm ready to take that risk and go put myself out there because I have a purpose, I have a calling, and what I'm doing, I believe in that. And when you do that, as you mentioned that women want respect, it will garner respect because you are standing for your values, you're standing for your beliefs. And when you do that, people recognize it. Now, that's another matter that sometimes you will come across people who are not in alignment with your values, and when they're not, it's okay. We cannot please everyone.
Right.
So going back to Karen, what you had mentioned, that women are influential in nature, and yet one of the most prevalent feelings that have been known that most of the women have is having that feeling of lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? And how do you think women can turn around that feeling into the one?
Those are good questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Into being
really,
influential.
I think that those are great questions. When you shared with us, you know, me and your readers, when you shared with me how you saw a confident woman and what come to mind, you mentioned the other traits. You mentioned about risk-taking, which is courage. You mentioned about purpose, which is passion. You mentioned about trust, which is trustworthiness. You incorporated all these other things, and so that shows how these seven traits really are interrelated with and among each other, you know. So confidence, that's something that we as women struggle with. Am I totally confident all the time? Absolutely not, but I'm a confident woman. Now, one of the reasons or examples I can give you is I was talking to a person, and she said, you know, I took this assessment that I have, and she said, I scored high on confidence, but I got to tell you, I'm very confident in things that I know. I'm confident in what I'm doing, what my education has taught me. I'm confident with what I've been assigned at work and so on and so on. And she said, but when it comes to raising three teenage boys, I have no confidence. It's like I'm shooting in the dark. I don't know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, I said, well, tell me, when you're raising your boys, what do you do then? And she said, well, I talk to other people who have done this, who've gone through this. I do a lot of reading. I keep the conversation going with my boys. I trust my instincts. I have a high regard for common sense, but I also have a high regard for what's right and wrong as well. And so I instilled these values in them, and she went on to say these things. And I said to her, spoken like a truly confident woman.
Mm-hmm.
She did not realize that confidence is how you approach something. It doesn't mean you have all the answers. It doesn't mean you have slight, you know, nagging thoughts of doubt. Confidence is how you approach it. You use your resources. You ask those tough questions. You put fear in the drawer for now because you need to go forward, and you know that if I don't, nobody's going to get it done. I need to do this. And so that's one of the ways that you can look at confidence. It's not, do I have all the answers? It's that, am I willing to find those answers? That's a big, big difference. And so now let's take a look at confidence. As you said, when a woman finds and embraces her confidence, as well as the other seven traits, but we'll talk about confidence, when a woman finds and truly understands what that means to her life, to her work, to her sense of being, if you will, when she embraces that, she becomes very attractive. I listen to people who are confident from that perspective, from that space, where it's a genuine confidence. It's not an arrogance. It's not a know-it-all, but it's very, grounded in, I'm not afraid, or I will have those tough conversations that go on inside my head where they say, oh, you're not good enough, or who do you think you are, or I'm not so sure you should do that, or what do you know about this, or so on and so on. The confident woman has those conversations and puts that voice to rest. Then they move forward. Those kinds of people, women, are very attractive. And when you become attractive at that level is when people will listen to you. They're going to want to know, what do you think? What's your message? What are your ideas? They're going to follow you. They're going to begin to trust you. And that is where it connects to being influential. And that's the woman that can walk into the room and say or do nothing and still be influential. That's really that true definition. So it's a lot to do with, in some fashions, like in marketing world, they'll say you're branding yourself. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. But to me, it's like your reputation. It comes before you. You know, if you give another person an experience of you, one that shows your confidence, one that expresses your passion, they walk away having that memory, having that experience of you as being a confident, passionate woman. And so when they see you again, guess what happens? When they hear you speaking out on an issue, when they hear you contributing a new idea during a team meeting, what do? They see you as having influence, as being influential first, and then they're listening to your idea, and they're willing to try it. They're willing to adopt a new way of thinking or behavior, whatever it is.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's how it is so connected to being an influencer. To, you know, I know so many women, and our objective, whether it's small or big on a global scale, they want to affect change in their world. They want to make a difference. They want to make their world better, whether it's the world that's inside the walls of your house or that's the world inside your church or in your school or in your community or in your country. all these things are really important, and that's where it starts. And it works. It really does. And so when we women... my message for your readers today is that I would like every woman listening to this call or this, conversation program today to really respect and appreciate that they have this for them. It's waiting there. You can build it more than what it is now. You can rediscover it. But every single woman has this inside them. They have each of these seven traits. They have the desire. The work that's left to do is to become aware. Discover it, expand it, all these different things. And so it's there. It's just waiting for you. You know, it's like a gift. It's there, but you need to unwrap it and open up the box and see what's inside. And that's what I tell, and I have these conversations with groups of women, you know, one-on-one. We talk about, you know, these kinds of things. And you know, here's the other thing. So you build your likability, you build your passion, you build your commitment. You can use that in every facet of your life, whether you're having a difficult conversation with your teenage daughter or your mother-in-law or a supervisor that you do not like or a boss that absolutely loves your work and you're working on a promotion and advancement. You can use these traits in every conversation you have. And it's really important. And you know what? We do that naturally, you know. So that would be my message, and I hope that helps make it clear how, you know, as an example, confidence. Because you asked a really good question. Confidence is the question that it's the trait that we get the most questions about, and it's also the trait that people struggle with, men and women across the board. That's the trait that has and gets the most attention because people want to know. You know, there's so much out there about confidence, and it's all good. However, it's about how you think of yourself and see yourself. That's the starting place, and that's the thing that I'm working on getting that message out to women. It's where you start, and I think women are getting it. I get a tremendous amount of feedback, emails, comments. On, you know, how women are beginning to really use this new way or new perspective of working and seeing themselves. So it's kind of cool, you know.
Oh, it's very cool. And there are so many things that you said resonated with me. Is a confident woman is not an arrogant woman. It's she is grounded and she is confident, who is willing to take the risk, who is willing to do what it takes to achieve her passion, her goals, because it's not about being superior to anyone else. It's about finding your passion and purpose and going after that. And she is a woman who is ready to know that she's going to fail, and failure is going to be the seed from which there is going to be a wonderful plant that will develop into a tree that's going to grow out. And challenges, yes, everybody has challenges in their lives, and challenges are the fertile ground in which the seeds of growth occur and develop into that strong tree. And I really liked one of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, we women have this naturally. It's almost like there are two cells in women. The one self that's always the doubting self that's questioning us. However, if we connect to our inner core that has always been there, that authenticity, if we can connect with that, and you also talked about the branding. So it's just about letting that potential be, realizing that potential, and it's okay to accept ourselves even if we fail. And I always say that acceptance does not mean giving up. Acceptance brings non-judgment. And when you have that non-judgment mindfulness, being in the present, that yes, I'm a human being. It's okay to succeed. I am going to celebrate my successes as well as my failures, because failures are going to teach me the path to my next success.
Right. And, you know, and that's where we learn everything, too. You know, if we're working on being more confident, practice it. See what you can do. You know, where can you put yourself into situations where you need to practice your confidence? And that's how you learn. It worked here. You know what? I need to think differently. Or, you know what? I really do get this. Or whatever the case may be. And I think that that's all really important for us as women, to appreciate that piece to ourselves. Just like you said, Divya, don't give up on it. You know, there's always a way and how to express it and how to begin to do it, but it just takes practice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some really good thoughts.
Thank you for sharing that. And you mentioned that keep on practicing, that the practice will move us towards mastery. So when we talk about practicing it, mm-hmm. how would you recommend practicing it, practicing being influential, practicing being confident in the real life situations? Do you have any experiences that you would share with our listeners?
Well, you know, one of the things that you can do is find a situation that you're really uncomfortable in. You know, sometimes confidence is related to your comfort zone. So if you, let's say you're in sales and you have a big deal, you know, a big project, and you're waiting to get the final go ahead, okay? You need to close the sale. And that would be nerve-wracking for anybody. But the more sales you attempt to close, regardless of the outcome, the more confident you become. And I say that because, you know, how does the saying go? You miss all the shots that you never took. It's like a hockey term, you know. I think it was Wayne Gretzky said this. You miss every shot that you never take. And he's right. So if I only try to close two sales a year, guess what? That's not going to do a lot for building my confidence. But if I try to close 1,000 sales a year, that's going to really build my confidence. Because, as you said, everybody can be confident when you have a win. But when you get a rejection or a maybe, that builds your confidence because you become more determined. And you also say, okay, I didn't get that one, why not? And you then sort and you say, well, I did everything I needed to do, but what I had to offer wasn't what they needed. Or I made a mistake at this stage in the sale process. Next time I won't do that. And that kind of self-talk is where you learn to become more confident. You know, the easy thing to do is to say, I didn't get the sale. Oh, gosh, I really suck at this. I'm not very good. I can't do this. This is not working, blah, 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 right? That's the entirely wrong way to do it. You have to go in, and the points are, you know, what is whatever it is, even if it isn't closing a sale, you have to go in and ask yourself, what went wrong? And you look at all different variables. We cannot control what another person needs to do or has to do or does. You know, you could not close a sale because all of a sudden their budget was cut in half and they can't afford what you offer. But it doesn't mean that you didn't do everything correctly and what you wanted to have happen. If they would have had their budget doubled, you would have got the sale. So put yourself into situations where it's kind of a numbers game. If you are afraid of having difficult conversations, start having difficult conversations. Yeah, don't just go in. Yeah, I don't just go in like a bull into a china shop. Be tactful, but approach subjects. And maybe it's interpersonal things, you know, with family members, whatever it might be. It might be talking with people, with your peers, with people that report to you or people you report to at work, whatever the case is. And when you find that there's difficult conversations that need to be had, don't back away from them. Now, this is where courage comes in. This is, you know, courage is very helpful. Now, this is also where likability comes in. If you have established yourself as a likable person, you know, you're friendly, and it's more than that. Likeability, by the way, is defined in my work as how another person feels about themselves when they're with you. That's likeability. If when I'm talking with you, Divya, and we hang up this call, and you walk away saying, you know, I felt really good. This was fun. I enjoyed these things, blah, blah, blah. You're feeling good about yourself. You will attribute that to our conversation and in part to my participation in that conversation. So then, therefore, you see me as being likable because you want to have more conversations because you walked away feeling good about yourself. That's likability. And so I recommend that you establish some of these other traits. You know, being a likable person makes it much easier to have a difficult conversation because the person will listen. Now, likable people, they will have tact. They're going to come in asking, they're going to ask questions first. So there's ways that you can create your success, which in turn builds your confidence. You know, and you can create success. And they don't have to be where I close a $65 billion contract. It can simply be a success in helping your teenage daughter make a decision on the appropriate dress to wear. And so you realize that you have so much opportunities to be influential in people's lives. And the more opportunities that you walk into and practice this, the more influential you will become because it'll increase your confidence. It'll increase your trustworthiness, you know. And the, you know, the other thing is that we all have these seven traits. It's just some people have maximized or leveraged them or developed them more than other people. And what I'm saying is everyone from today, from tomorrow on, has that opportunity to actually do this, regardless of your circumstances. Because where these traits all take place are within ourselves. And last time I checked, nobody else was inside my head or my heart telling me and doing all this stuff. Unless you have that voice somewhere that, you know, you have to deal with, you know. But, you know, we have these opportunities. And, you know, you can make it fun. Even though things are difficult, you can make it fun. I have made a practice in my life ever since I was very, very young to make things fun, even though they were difficult. Even though all I could do was push my fingers up on my lips and make my smile go like this when I could find figure no other way to make something fun or whatnot. But it changed my perspective on how whatever was difficult at the time, it would change my perspective slightly. And that's all it took. So, you know, as you're, you know, going along and you're looking at being influential and how I grow these traits, know that those opportunities exist every minute of every day, whether you're influencing yourself or someone else or your environment or a decision. It's always there. It's always there. And, you know, when you look at it, here's kind of a guarantee, if you will. When, you know, you identify, when a person identifies a problem or an issue or some concern or worry that they have, things aren't going right, or when they identify what's going right, the things that are great in their life, the reasons they want to celebrate. Every one of those items can be traced back to one or more of these seven traits. And so that's how powerful. Every woman on this call listening has the power to go ahead and access one and more of these seven traits and how they're making them work for them. You know, so, and I think by doing that, that will help people in our lives sit up and take notice of us, to value what we contribute and what we do, to respect what we do, and to, in some cases, offer help. You know, what can I do? How can I be a part of your mission? How can I take some load off, you know? That's also being influential. Gandhi didn't do it all by himself, you know. Jesus Christ had 12 disciples, you know. So you become that person where people want to jump in and be a part of what you're creating and doing. And that's exciting. That's so exciting. But my message again, though, is this is where it starts. It starts with building your ability to be influential. It's really key. It's a key piece.
Ooh, wow. I have really enjoyed our conversations. And a couple of things that stood out for me was, one was, likability is how others feel in your presence And as Maya Angelou has really said, that people will not remember anything else. People will remember how you made them feel. And that totally ties into what you said, Karen. And
yeah.
Also you said
and, you
is...
You know, Maya Angelou also said that courage is the greatest virtue of all. And she has a very nice quote. It's fairly long. I don't remember it verbatim, but it really stuck with me over the years about courage is the greatest virtue, because no matter what, when a woman has courage, she's undefeatable.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing.
It is amazing, and it's amazing how we think of similar things, and that goes to show that we are all interconnected. I had been thinking about, when you have mentioned about courage, I was thinking about Maya Angelou's quotes, because I love Maya Angelou, and her quotes are so applicable in real life and applicable to all. So one of the other things that you mentioned was, yes, I'm a fan of hers. So one of the other things that you mentioned was having a mission, having a purpose. And when we talk about a purpose is, again, as we are talking about how you are likable, is how are you making others feel? Similarly, it's about giving back to the community, paying it forward. So if you're out there doing, if you have a cause, if you have a purpose, if you have some, if you have a vision, that is to help others. And as Karen, you aptly said, that even great people could not do it by themselves. And again, that reminds me of one quote. I do not remember the author, but the quote goes something like this, that individually we are a drop of water. Together we are an ocean. So it again goes back that if you are giving back to the community, and if you have that purpose of helping others, people will join you. People will support you in your cause.
I think that's interesting. You know, when the first thing that came to my mind when you said individually we're a drop of water, together we're an ocean, I immediately experienced a sense of energy. You know, the ocean has such great energy and such action. It's constantly moving. And to me, that appeals to me because, you know, our bodies, we're constantly changing. If we didn't, we would just die. And so, you know, that analogy is very powerful, Divya. You know, the whole thing about water and energy and flow. And, you know, what is it, 60-some or 70-some percent of human beings were made up of water. And the fluidity of it all. I think that that's such a good way of looking at this because, you know, what mistakes I make today are not the mistakes I have to make tomorrow. And so I always have that opportunity to correct them. I have that opportunity to learn from them. I have the opportunity to do it better. And so, and that to me is really a fluid kind of process because I know tomorrow I'm going to make some mistakes too. Let's just hope they're different ones, you know. They're not the same ones over and over again. And so, you know, there's that real fluid nature. And I think, too, it is like Mother Nature. And we are, as human beings and as women, we are part of nature. And I think that that type of experiencing that energy and that flow really connects to what we've been talking about so far. So, you know, I appreciate that quote on that. That's really a good one.
Absolutely, because I always think that when women come together, we are like an ocean because we love to nurture, we love to sustain life. And at the same token, as the ocean has the resilience, that, you know, and it has the depth, it's just amazing. Women have so much. It's just like you said, it's about discovering your potential. It's already there, finding it. And moving on it, taking action on it.
Right. Exactly. I agree. I think, you know, it's you know, well, that's one of the things that led me to create this assessment was that I think I own every self-help book ever written and all the business books and all the business biographies and celebrity biographies. I'm always fascinated with history and things like this. But it was great information. I learned a tremendous amount of information and new ways of thinking and so on and so on. However, it did not tell me about me. And that really spurred me on to create the assessment, because this is something that can tell me about me. It gives me how confident I am. It tells me about how likable I am. It gives me a score for that. It really helps me benchmark and go, oh, this is where I'm starting from. So, and it also tells me what I need to do to build my confidence, to build my courage. And so that was one of the things, when you talk about action and being really active, what I was missing in all of this great information and material that I was reading for the last 25 years, what I was missing is what it meant to me and where I was and what I needed to do for me here or there, whichever. So, you know, I decided that I wanted to create something that was about the individual, that was objective, based on how they responded to these items, that gave them information about themselves. And that's where you start. You know, I can say I'm going to start building my confidence, but when I really know where my confidence is, then I can be much more effective in building it. That's the key. I don't want to shoot in the dark. I want to know about me. It's like a blood test. You know, don't tell me I might have, you know, high blood sugar. Tell me if I do. Don't let me think I might have that or might not, but here's what I'll, you know, here's some things I could do. Tell me if I do or if I don't. Then I can make better decisions on what I need to do next. And that was really the premise of this, is to share with people, this is who you are. You know, and then you move forward. So that was, you know, that was a very pivotal point for me in doing what I've done.
Oh, and it's such a wonderful tool to know where you are, because once you know where you are and when you know where you want to go, then it's so much easier to chart a map and take action on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Karen, first of all...
Oh, exactly. I like that, how you said that. Yep. That's really true. Mm-hmm.
First of all, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. And if our listeners would like to find out about this wonderful tool, can you share with us where can they find this tool and how can they go and take the assessment?
Sure. Thank you, Divya. I always enjoy visiting with you and talking with you, and we always talk about such different things. There's always learning going on. But people that are interested in reading more about the work that I've done and about the tools, it's the Keller Influence Indicator. And you can just go ahead onto my site, which is www.karen-keller. So that's karen-keller.com. So if you Google or look up on our site, you will be able to find. In fact, you can take a complimentary assessment and get one score. I believe it's your commitment score for free. And so you can kind of get a taste of what this is like and what it is, and you can read about your own commitment. So that's kind of exciting, and that's a complimentary offer that we give to everyone so that they can sample and see what it's like. So thank you. It's been a pleasure being on your show today.
Oh, it's been a privilege for me to have you on the show. And like you said, you know, whenever we get together, it's always having fun. And that's one of the things you mentioned, that you always like to include fun in everything you do, and that is so important. So... listeners, have fun, enjoy, and keep working. And we have this life where we can shape our destinies. So definitely, we have learned a lot today. And as you head out back to the real world, do take action and do visit Karen's site.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.